Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. So thankful that all of you are joining us today to discuss a very serious topic, something that impacts all of us here in Westmoreland County, and that is mental health, and in particular, how mental health impacts the suicide rate here in Westmoreland County. We're getting some unfortunate news from the Westmoreland County Coroner's Office that suicides are on the rise. In fact, was just informed that the number of suicides in Westmoreland County has already reached 31 at the halfway point of 2025. Joining me today to discuss that is Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson, his Deputy Coroner Al Lonzo, and also Heather McLean. She's the Outreach Coordinator for Mental Health America of Western Pennsylvania and also leads the Ray of Hope Suicide Prevention Task Force. I want to thank the three of you for joining us today to discuss this very serious topic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No problem. Glad to help.
So, Tim, I'm going to start with you. Here in Westmoreland County, you've been coroner for several years now, and you've seen the different trends. So, take us through the numbers since COVID. I remember hearing that COVID was a time when people were fighting to stay alive, right? There was a passion to survive. So, you actually saw a dip in suicides. But since then, that has changed. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I mean, since COVID, our numbers, have definitely, unfortunately, been on the rise, with suicides. And the past few years, I mean, our highest number was 2 years ago. We had 62 suicides, and that was definitely alarming to to me. It went down last year, a few, and unfortunately, it looks like this year the trend is definitely upward. I mean, not a overwhelming number. I mean, any number is overwhelming when you're talking about this, but the trend stays. I mean, we may bypass the that 62 number that we hit a couple of years ago.
Wow. And Deputy Coroner Lonzo is on the line now, too. And there is a lot of reporting with this data that goes on. Mr. Lonzo, do you want to talk a little bit about, the whole mortality review and the child death review and how you really try to look at each individual death and try to determine how they can be prevented? Why don't you talk for a few minutes about that?
So the county has enacted what well, was enacted a few years ago, but when COVID hit, the Child Death Mortality Review Team, they actually disbanded after a short period. They picked it up again last year and started it. And they look at every death. They consider a child 21 and under, and they look at each death, and they have all the agencies. They have a group from every agency in a county, law enforcement, child care, the DA's office, nursing that specialize in pediatrics, and they look at these cases and they try to come up with a recommendation to the state health department as to things that would help curb this, or things that could have recommend issues that could have avoided this. So that's pretty much the way that the Child Death Review Team works. The mortality review team, which is basically looking at right now specializing in suicides, it's they're actually going to be having their first meeting here shortly, and it's a similar where it's a state statute that gives them the authority to form that organization. They reach out, as the child death review team does, to the hospitals and doctors, and they try to look at the mental health, all the hospital-related items of this person, and look at the whole history, and if there is any mental health, if they've had prior intervention with a children's bureau, everything. They all the groups get together, share their information, and then again we look at it. What could we do to avoid this, or what recommendations could we present to the state health department that would curb this? So it's a quite a feat. And in Heather's position, it pretty much helps feed the all the other agencies within a county too, that it helps at the county level in addition to helping with the state level. And they technically look like what we look at here, even us when we report out of our office, we're reporting all these cases to the health department, and we look at categorizing them in age groups. Like this year so far, we have 31. We have one this morning on a 42-year-old female. Unfortunately, she was a gunshot wound. But ages, our youngest so far was 13 years old. We have two of them that are 13 to 21. We have three of them that are 22 to 30. We have 5 of them that are 31 to 40. We have 6 of them that are 41 to 50. And we have 12 of them that are 51 to 70. And we have 3 that are 71 to 90. And we even get more involved in that in these reporting. We try to look at, where, what, how they committed the suicide and report all these different things to the state. And I think that Heather can speak for what they're going to do on their end, but I mean they're going to look at this mortality review, and they're going to put together a lot of these stats that will then share this more in a countywide agencies that and hopefully like on a drug death review, our numbers have gone down some, which has really been great. We can't put a finger on what it is exactly that caused the decline, but we think, that some of these agencies' input in the community, and even Heather was talking about programs there with weapons and meeting with gun dealers and that, because we had, for instance, out of the gunshots, we had 15 of those suicides that were gunshot related. So they're trying to pick different areas they think they can go into the community, get other groups, and try to help do something to curb this. So I'll let Heather sort of go in from there.
Go ahead, Heather. Tell us a little bit about your job.
Well, with Ray of Hope, the task force, we have several initiatives, but just to reiterate what Al had said about the Suicide Fatality Review Board is really looking for opportunities, places that there could have been intervention, and unfortunately there wasn't. He did mention a new committee that we have formed, which is the Lethal Means Safety Committee. That is a group of different providers, several that work for the VA, and talk about how they can engage the community in safe gun storage. Absolutely nothing about restriction, just educating people, teaching people safe gun storage, firearm storage, reducing lethal means to suicide. And also, the Ray of Hope does partner with the VA and gives away free gun locks. Last year, we did partner with the DA's office in giving out free gun locks. So they put that out to the community. And we did have a lot of community members that came and got gun locks from us, which was great because it's really about safe storage. That's one of the initiatives. As far as the Suicide Fatality Review Board, we're really looking to see what we are missing. Because we haven't had our first review yet, I can't speak too much to that. Really trying to get out. As Al had said and gone through the numbers, the suicides in Westmoreland County are all across the lifespan, and that is true to suicides. But maybe looking at maybe a higher number of suicides, say in the aging population. Westmoreland County does have a very high aging population. Maybe some programs that we can put in place to spread awareness. Different initiatives that we can have, partnering with the Office of Aging, partnering with some aging programs to get that information out to people. The Ray of Hope currently has a lot of different subcommittees for outreach, for our walk, specifically for LOS, which is outreach to suicide survivors. And that really, that postvention is prevention, because if someone has an intimate loss to suicide, they are 4 times more likely to take their own life to suicide. So we do a lot to engage those loss survivors, getting them connected to the Ray of Hope, getting them connected to other survivors, making them feel that they're not alone. This is the most traumatic death that someone can experience. So to be able to offer that hope and support is extremely important.
So I wanted to capitalize on what Heather was starting to talk about here too. Tim and Heather, in the last couple of years, put together this loss team that We have incorporated her group under the county as volunteers. And Heather, and you might want to explain what you and Tim have done and how you, like today we got a call. Heather will be getting a call from our agent now who is in the field. She will discuss with this family of this 42-year-old that we could provide them some form of support. And Heather, explain how the group works under the Lost and Orders Office and how we put it together now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually been tomorrow will be our second year since our first call out. So I had met with Tim several years ago and asked him if he would help us with this initiative for a Lost Team, which is local outreach to suicide survivors. Tim was absolutely on board. That started the connection and the piece of us partnering together. Currently, we have 26 members, the key being a loss survivor. So when we go out into the community, it is that loss survivor that's connecting with someone that's newly bereaved that just lost their loved one. They introduce themselves. They say, "I too have lost a close loved one to suicide." And the connection between those people, it is without words. So to be able to offer that support just for liability purposes, Tim and Al both worked very extremely hard to get the Lost Team under the coroner's office. That way, when we go out, that we are now a part of the coroner's office representing. And it was a journey to get everyone trained, to get everyone on board. We have had three specific trainings to get our team to where it is at today. Initially, we thought we would maybe be responding to half of the suicides, but we are responding to most of the suicides, and that's exceptionally important. Just like I had said, that postvention is prevention. When we go out to see the families, the loved ones, we take a care package. That care package has a lot of different items. It has comfort items such as a teddy bear, a blanket, a journal. A specific book called Read It Till You Believe It that was recommended to us to get for newly bereaved. We also have a lot of resources in there linking to national resources, our local resources to Ray of Hope. We have a support group for specifically for suicide loss survivors that we have had since 2007. So many people have come to our group since we started the Lost Team. On an average, this group is held once a month, and we would have maybe 6 to 8 people. We have now run out of room. We hold about 20 to 25 people, sometimes more, every month for our support group. And that is because of the work with the coroner's office and being able to do this Lost Team. Do a lot of outreach with first responders. Most of them now know that we are a group that is responding to the scene. Just to add that the Lost Team can respond immediately. The coroner's office will call us. We will send a team of three to go out and respond to those loved ones on the scene. And then sometimes it turns out that it's a delayed response. We can go later that day, maybe the day after, even like a week following the tragedy. And it's really based on the family's need too and what they feel comfortable doing. And so we really want to honor what they need and what is best for them. So sometimes it looks like we do go out, within a week after they have lost their person. Going on at Ray of Hope, but so proud of the Lost Team. I still believe that we are the only functioning Lost Team as the model has it in the state of Pennsylvania, and that is because of our partnership with the coroner's office and the deputy coroners and Tim and Al and everybody trusting us to respond to these families. And it has just been a tremendous response.
This is excellent interview and excellent information for the public to hear. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. My guests today are Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson, Deputy Coroner Al Lonzo, and Heather McLean. She's the Outreach Coordinator for Mental Health America of Western Pennsylvania. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Lost Team and also Ray of Hope. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Joining me today is Westmoreland County Coroner Tim Carson, Deputy Coroner Al Lonzo, and Heather McLean. She is the Outreach Coordinator for Mental Health America of Western Pennsylvania. Today, the topic is very difficult. It's suicide awareness and prevention. We saw a steep decline in suicides during the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly during 2020, when there was a desperate fight to stay alive. And then we saw a huge increase in suicides this year, halfway through the year, about 31 suicides. And that could be putting Westmoreland County on pace to have one of the highest years ever in suicides. As our experts are telling this, these are people of all age ranges happening all times of year. But we do see, Heather, it is accurate to say we do see a slight spike around the holidays, and we are seeing a slight spike in an elderly population. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Just to butt in real quick, Heather. Just
Go ahead.
stats with the stats that we have so far this year, out of the 31, we had 12 in January. The next highest 2 months was April and May at five each. And June so far, four, and March three, and February one. So it appears as though the holidays, as she started, our stats are very high there.
Yes. It's hard really to pinpoint when, how, where, and to get a collective, a real collective thought on that. We did have a very high number in January. Not, I can't really speak to why. And then last December, which was around the holidays, we thought we were going to be able to end the year. I was really hoping in the 40s. And we had a very high number in December of suicides in Westmoreland County. I know several years ago that the Tribune Review did an article specifically on the aging and suicides, that from the 2021 to 2022, we had over 100% rise in suicides in the aging population. I really think that is from loneliness. COVID did the thing where everyone was at home. Everyone, was communicating virtually, and there wasn't that human connection. And like you said, people were fighting to stay alive, but at the same time, there was a residual effect of all of that in staying home and not being face to face and not having that human contact. So loneliness, I know, is a big part of the suicide issue that we have, and also the loss of connectedness. Connectedness is the number one protective factor for suicide. So when you take that connectedness away, that is a huge piece of why we are losing so many people to suicide, especially in the aging population. In the aging, a lot of people, they're losing their loved ones. They're starting to have the, or do have, the medical illness. They've raised their families. Their families go on to have their own families. And so they're at a loss, and that has a big impact on our aging population. Ray of Hope does, and I don't know if you're going to ask this question, but Ray of Hope does many things throughout the year to help connect people, engage people responding to suicide loss survivors. We are having our 19th annual walk coming up September 5th at Twin Lakes Park. In Greensburg, and we usually get around 400 people that attend that walk. Last year, we do a very special piece at our walk where we do the reading of the names, where loved ones are given a keepsake every year, and then when we read their name, they come up and put their keepsake along with everyone else's. To see a picture and a capture of all of those names representing all of those suicides, is without words. Last year, we had so many names being read. I thought maybe we were going to run out of keepsakes. Thank goodness we didn't. But it is tremendous to see the impact on the community in Westmoreland County regarding suicide. We have a candlelight vigil that we had done several years ago and then just brought it back last year. Tremendous opportunity for me and to connect with bereaved suicide loss survivors. I had met probably at least five new families. I believe all of them had lost their child. So that is an amazing opportunity. We will be having it again this year in November, That is held outside of the courthouse. We have select speakers talking about their loss. I know that Tim was there last year. Actually had brought a family of someone he knows that was lost to suicide. And then we have a time where we go inside the courthouse, we have cookies and coffee, and just giving that time to connect with those bereaved suicide loss survivors. About 4 years ago, we started something called the Celebration of Life, where it is specifically an invitation to suicide loss survivors. And so last year, we had around 130 suicide loss survivors that we had hosted at Gianelli's 2 in Greensburg. And to see all of them together, connecting, looking around, you know, realizing they're not alone. A lot of times with suicide, it's called the silent epidemic for a reason. People that are having acute thoughts of suicide, most of the time, don't talk about it. Their behavior and their actions can show that they're really struggling, but they don't feel, because of stigma, that they can talk about it. Also, for people that are bereaved of suicide, that have lost their loved ones, they also feel that they can't talk about it. And so this really gives an opportunity for them to honor and commemorate their loved one that they had lost. I've heard so many stories of people talking about how this is the first time that they've been able to honor and, you know, really commemorate their lost loved one. We do several different things during that dinner that gives them the opportunity. We try to make it personalized to each person. There's so much that's put into that. We have a special committee specifically for that event. We do host a conference every year where we bring in a lot of different people. We have people attend with lived experience. We have loss survivors attend, and we have a lot of people working in the human services field that come and attend that conference. Like I said, there's so many different things that we do to try to impact the community, to help suicide loss survivors. Ray of Hope offers 2 specialized training. They're internationally evidence-based trainings called QPR, which is Question, Persuade, and Refer. And then we offer a 2-day full-day training called ASSIST, and that's Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training. That specifically gives people the tools to intervene and to do different interventions when someone is having thoughts of suicide or having a plan of suicide. Really teaches people how to intervene in that way.
This is amazing.
So, when you
think about all this, I'm gonna ask Coroner Carson and Deputy Coroner Alonzo, do you think when you look across the state in other counties that they are poised as well as we are for awareness, prevention, and support?
I know some of them are trying. I think Westmoreland County by far is the leader in terms of suicide prevention, and, you know, having the loss team in place, I mean, is just, you know, amazing. I mean, you know, I had a situation over the weekend where, a mother literally drove her son to a Dollar General because he was having problems sleeping. He got some sleeping pills at the, you know, at the over the counter at the Dollar General, and proceeded to go to a motel and took the bottle of pills, and the burden that it's on this woman now, and I actually know the family, I'm going to pay my respects today, is just so overwhelming. And having that opportunity for me to provide the loss team and tell them that there is people that can, that, you know, they can talk to, has just been tremendous, having that asset and that tool in place.
Yes, I would agree for sure. Deputy Alonzo, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that.
Well, I've been involved quite a bit with the other 67 counties in the state, and involved with the military end of it, trying to do a mortality review and so on. And there's just not a lot of things in place, and a lot of counties have nothing. And I mean, this whole venture, the legality part of it, dealing with the hospitals on a confidentiality. Most of the hospitals now have become, because of reproductive rights, where they don't want to give out the information because of lawsuits. Then they want a form signed, a release form on these people. And It's been a battle. It's been a battle. The VA has been a big battle. We're dealing now with somebody at the Veterans Administration. What's interesting is when we do a mortality review on a veteran, an active military member, we don't. But on a retired veteran, or we do. But there's been a lot of legal obstacles to putting all this together. And what's interesting is you go county to county and you get solicitors' opinions at all these counties, and you have 10 solicitors, and you might be lucky if you get 50% of them agreeing on what the law says or what we're allowed to do. So it's been a very interesting venture, but fortunately, we've been very lucky that it's worked out very well for our county.
For sure. And Heather, as we, as we move forward, would you agree that just awareness is the key?
Yes, awareness, education, instilling hope in people, providing an opportunity for people to get the help that they need, reducing stigma, giving people the opportunity to share their story. It's not only healing and powerful for them, it's very impactful for everyone that hears it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I thought it was just me that felt that way. And so giving people that opportunity, it's life-changing. The work that Tim Carson and his team have done, just to engage this community, which a lot of people steer away from, but to engage us, to partner with us, it has been a tremendous opportunity for the work that we've been able to do. And without them, we wouldn't have been able to do it. When I am told that when I get the call from the coroner's office and the first responders are wanting us to come to the scene, that is so obvious in the impact that we're making and that people are really believing and knowing of how we are working together to create change when it comes to suicide prevention and awareness.
And the folks from Ray of Hope, all of you working together as a team is really imperative, because I think what you're trying to do is really prevent the next suicide. And what you said to me today was really impactful, is that people who are, I forget how you said it, but people who are impacted in a close emotional circle by suicide are the ones who have the most potential to take their own lives. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And when we provide that in, education, just letting people know that, and people that have been impacted, just like if there was a history of cancer or diabetes in someone's family, they would look for the signs. They would reach out to their doctor. They would, try to get as educated as they can, to prevent themselves. And it's the same way with suicide. Look for the signs and symptoms. They've been through a significantly traumatic event. And how do they process that? How do they move forward from that? It's not uncommon that we go out, meeting with families, that it's not the first suicide in their family. It's not uncommon that they've lost a parent or a child or a sibling to suicide also.
Tim Carson is the Westmoreland County Coroner, Al Lonzo, Deputy Coroner, and Heather McLean. She's the Outreach Coordinator for Mental Health America of Westmoreland, or of Western Pennsylvania. Thank you to the three of you for joining me today on Westmoreland Community Connections. Being here on WHJB, this is the point of Community Connections, to educate the community about these important issues. I appreciate all of your time, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank all of you for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.